All right, fellas, like we practiced.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4.
Come on down. Come on down. Hanging with the brothers tonight, yeah. Come on down to the brothers' common place tonight.
All righty, then I'll have you boys all say a little something.
You guys excited for the Indians, well, Guardians and the Cavs tonight?
Oh, yeah, Guardians. Baby. All right, Toof, can I get a little something from you, you sexy barefoot?
Guardians, more like Tardians.
Oh.
Okay.
Hey, tied for first place, Toof.
There's a time and a place for first place, and that time is now.
Oh, shit. The time is now.
Oh, so it's Cena.
All righty. Welcome, everyone, to the Brothers Commonplace, a comedy and crime podcast where we cover monsters, murders, mysteries, and more. And before we get into today's, Toof juked me out. He leaned into the mic that didn't say shit. That's why I paused. And before we get into today's episode, which is a case and a request.
Ooh, what?
I want y'all to meet my favorite little guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Timmy, you need it.
What's going on, guys? This is Tim. Spence, can you hit that for me?
My friend.
Oh, shit.
It sounds like you could use some words of wisdom.
Already?
Hell yeah, dude. So
the brothers have been, dude, we've been busy as fuck, and we haven't, you know, put a podcast out for a while, and I think you guys are thinking, yeah, Kev's got some kids now, Toof's married and shit, you think we're doing something responsible, but we're fucking not, dude. We actually came up with this game, and we've just been playing it every single night. The game is, first we drive up to Michigan, we grab Andrew,
yeah.
I mean, we just get fucking hammered, dude. Like, hammered. We go out on the street, and we pull our dicks out, and we start pissing. All of us start pissing. I know what you're thinking now. How's that a game?
Yeah, that's just an average Tuesday night.
Well, the rule of the game is you try to piss so hard at the other brother's dick that it blocks their stream of piss.
Oh, yes, dude.
Like Dragon Ball Z.
And we call it the Boulevard of Broken Streams.
Hell yeah, dude.
I love that, dude. We're yelling like fucking Vegeta and shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
What about I have such a weak flow that you guys give me UTIs every time?
You have such a weak flow, we're like actually worried about you, and we go take you to get your prostate checked.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I have such a weak flow, I'm Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, my God, dude, yes.
The two streams hit each other. It's like when Harry and Voldemort's wands are like the power resisting each other.
Hell yeah.
Oh, what up, everyone? Hello, Wildcats.
Ooh.
Shit, I had the Hello Wildcats button. There it is.
Hello, Wildcat.
I know how it is. You were on your podcast app. You scrolled through years ago, and you saw these little skeletons, little icon, Brothers Commonplace, and you thought,
you were the chosen one!
You chose the podcast. You started to love it. You started to donate.
Listen, here is worth a lot of money. Everything I got's worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being a listener of the podcast led to you getting laid, and you started getting questions like,
anyway, how is your sex life?
But then the podcast stopped coming.
Oh.
And you might have started to feel,
true international suffered depression.
Confused.
Well, everyone, I have good news for you.
Fuck yeah.
We're back, baby.
Oh, yes.
Hell yeah, dude. Love
hell it. Yes. I love that, Spence.
That oh, and this good. Is Spence.
Hey, everybody. It's Toof. I've been the reason the podcast has been on hold because I've been trying to film a sequel to one of my favorite movies. It's called What's Eating Gilbert Godfrey?
Oh, Toof.
Spoiler alert. Worms.
Oh, Toof. Man. Jesus Christ, dude. Is there an apology or like a fucking Uno reverse card about
no,
to happen?
No, that's just a classic Norm MacDonald joke.
I would say we boot Toof from the episode.
Toof. I love our running joke of any time we've met someone that listens to the show, which has only been a few times. But whenever we do, whatever brother is not with us, we instantly make the joke about kicking them out and letting the new guy on.
Oh, my God, yes.
At your wedding, Toof, we kicked you out so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah.
And it is your boy, Kev, a.k.a. the Diamond-Handed Dirty Dog. And my wife's pussy only gets hair growing on one side of it, so every time I go down on her, I feel like I'm French and Tom Selleck.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's Hell, it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it, guys.
It also tastes like whiskey.
I was going to try and make Alvin and the Chips and Monk DVD somehow work, but it just seemed like too much work.
I had one which I kind of want to save, but I feel like I probably can't use it anyway. But it's where like I can only work on one part of a car, and I started this business. It's just called Only Trans.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I like that.
So it's not welcome in Florida anymore.
Oh my God, dude! What is that? Don't talk.
Don't say gay.
It's like don't talk about Bruno, but we don't talk about gay people.
Oh my God! Hell yeah!
Don't say gay, dude. They add that into the DARE program.
After that one lady who listened to our podcast and hated it and sent us reviews about it, that's what she says. Don't listen to Brothers Commonplace.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this on Spotify, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Spotify. That's real quick and easy. That'd really help us out. That'd be cool. Alrighty,
we're on Spotify?
Yeah.
Oh, you hear that, Joe? We're coming for you in your number one spot. They're going to be giving us the big bucks soon, mister.
That's right. So, all right. So today's
actually, we already signed the deal, too, if it's just that you're not in it.
Yes. You know what? I'm glad I didn't take the deal.
Oh, the deal.
Oh, the deal.
We used to know a guy who had a little thing he called the deal, too. do you want to explain the deal?
Yeah, I'm just going to say names, too, because I don't even care at this point in my life. We knew a dude named Paramore, and he worked at Wendy's with some gay dude.
Wait.
And he,
oh, my God, dude. Wow, just not even going to try to hide any of it, huh?
I don't even care. Come at me, Paramore.
Oh, my God.
It's true. I mean, his name is Paramore. What are you
going to do about it? Hey, Paramore, what's your favorite band?
It's actually Evanescence.
And I don't know like what they were doing when they worked together. I don't know if it's like flirting or like exploration of his sexuality. But he's like, hey man, how about this? You suck me, I'll suck you. And then the dude sucked him and he's like, I'll get you back next time.
Oh fuck.
The deal,
dude. Just kept doing that. And he kept calling it the deal. Even he called it the deal.
The fucking deal, dude. Did he ever suck the dude back?
Never. Allegedly. Hashtag you never know. But yeah, he never did. And I'm like, dude, what a greatest one-way deal ever.
Eventually.
Eventually you gotta pay your dues.
Right. Hey, oh shit.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Fuck yeah. Like when other people die and they get 40 virgins, he dies and he just has to do 40 times the deal.
Every day for eternity.
Also, I'm trying to find something real quick.
He has to do the deal to the three-dicked goblin from Legend of Neil.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
I'll do that, dude.
I don't sound like a monster, do I?
No.
No, you sound good. I'm just trying to find something. I'm sorry.
You look cute, I'll tell you that right now.
No, so far you haven't said anything bad about Ukraine, so you're not a monster.
Yes, we all support Ukraine. We all want Ukraine to have all of our money and do good.
That's right.
Okay, I found it, dude. So this is fucking good. All right, you guys still there?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, we're sorry. Okay. I was contemplating leaving.
So I'm going to play this. I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about, it's like Song Exploder, but it's not that one. It's a different one. And they were doing Kelly Clarkson's Because of You, and it's just so fucking funny. There's a part in it where, like, they change the key, but the drummer just fucking goes off, and it's so fucking good. And they keep making jokes of it, and in the podcast, they, like, make their own version of the song, and they keep adding this drum fill in and then making it go up another key. So, yeah, we'll play it for, like, a minute, and then you'll hear where it kicks in. It's great. Okay. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear this. It's like there's like no drums barely in the song, and then you get that, and then it goes up a key. It's so fucking good, dude. It's such a sad song. It's so good.
I guess I never really paid attention to the lyrics too much, too. What about her talking about how much she played on the safe side of the sidewalk?
Well, it's actually like a fucked up song. Like, it's not like a good Because of You.
Oh, it's because of her dad molesting her or something.
Well, yeah, I'm
just left.
I think it's that.
I will say though, what the? I forgot she used to be a babe.
She's pretty big now,
dude. She's fine as shit. Hey, oh,
I ate that pussy like shrimp fried rice.
Wrong one.
That's a huge bitch.
All right, but no, she used to be fucking banging, dude. She's hot as fuck in this video.
Yeah.
When they perform that song live, the drummer guy just has to sit there most of the time.
Yeah, they said, like, in the podcast.
He doesn't even show up till halfway through.
Yeah, they were like, dude, he was saving it all up for that moment. Or, like, he just kind of forgot he was playing. Oh, it's called Punch Up the Jam.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's the only episode I've heard. I saw it mentioned on something. I forget why. But, yeah, dude, it's fucking so good. But all righty, let's jump into this episode. This is a request from listener Amber. So thank you so much, Amber, for this request. She actually emailed us just a couple days ago. So I figured, fuck it. We haven't made an episode in a while. Let's go ahead and do it.
We have email? What's that?
Email, send it off to Zoom.
Oh. Or Z-mail.
You call Andrew.
So if you got a video, give it up. We'll put it on the show.
I like how they had, that was just a great show. I love Zoom. Yeah, I was going to make a joke about, never mind, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth the possible hate, though. So,
while we're getting hate, why not go for it? I have a challenge to our listeners. Oh, if you upload a video of you killing our president, I'll do the same thing.
This MAGA country.
What are you talking
about? Hey, Toof, did you say listeners plural?
Negro? That's all you had to say.
Yeah, I think Andrew plays the episode twice.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
put y'all back in chains.
Dude, I got like double.
Actually, you know what? Keep him alive.
I got some super bad news, guys.
No, Plankton's not dead, right?
Plankton got fired.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Plankton's fired. And then the, do you have anything for pain? Oh, that guy, he's working in a different building now.
Fuck.
It's a different building.
Oh, he's already made. He's already manager.
Fuck, yeah.
Oh, God. I saw an old guy at Cracker Barrel with the Trump 2024 hat on. And I don't know why it was so funny, because, like, that's the guy you expect to be at Cracker Barrel. But it was just like, dude, you already natural have that hat. Like, you know, like, damn. So, alrighty, let's take a trip all the way to the place where some of our most beloved fans are. We're talking about Australia.
Ooh.
Australia.
In this case, is to remind you that if the wild animals and bugs and Simon from the Wiggles don't get you, that this motherfucker will. Today, we are talking about Mr. Cruel.
Oh my god, yes.
Not to be confused with Mr. Cool Ice. I hope you guys remember who that dude is. Google him if you don't remember.
Tattoos.
Yeah, he's the guy who just has skulls tattooed all over his body and then the words Mr. Cool Ice like five times on him. But no, this Mr. Cruel, this is an unsolved serial child rapist and murderer. That's what this case is about. So lots of genuine family laughs this episode. So get your kids, gather them up.
I'm already fucking cheesing.
I might fucking call Ballad in here to teach him some shit.
Show him what could happen.
Yeah, if you don't become this guy, you could be a victim of this guy, Ballad. The choice is yours. Your new life starts now.
I don't think you can call Ballad in until about... No. Yep. Yeah. I think the Klan rally ends at 8.
Yeah. Hey, why, Ballard? Can you be fair, son? Why do you smell like burning cross?
I'll drinking a Guinness there.
Yes, sir. Drinking a Guinness.
Fuck yeah.
So, alrighty, our sources for this case: allthat'sinteresting.com, Daily Mail, Story Maps, And then also, whoismrcruel.com. Yeah, I see Toof waving his hand over there. Either he might be casting a spell, or maybe he's just waving at me.
Tim, is there a fucking wrestling move called the Burning Cross?
The Burning Hammer.
Burning Hammer. Okay, all right.
Dude, there's no way they fucking...
I need to know whose move that is right now.
A lot of people have the Burning Hammer. I mean...
Okay.
Fucking
Burning Cross, too.
The Burning
Isn't
Cross
Isn't there another
move?
One called just the NASCAR noose?
I mean, yeah, that was your dad's finishing move.
God, dude, that's how he died, trying to perform that. Accidentally did it to himself. Dude, so I work with the guy who does that Mansfield wrestling.
Fuck yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
And I watch
so
my
you
boy...
work with a celebrity.
Yeah, dude. So my boy Alex,
on a higher tier than us.
Shout out to A-Rod. He showed me like a video of him and stuff, and then I found him on Instagram, and like he's in like good shape and stuff. And,
dude, let's go watch him.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm so down.
He was like, yeah, here's a move I've been working on. I might start using it. It's a little sloppy right now, but this is what I'm gonna be working on. And like he jumps. Like, he's on, like, the outside of the ropes, and then he jumps off the top, like, jumps off the rope to, like, springboard, and then just does, like, a double axe handle.
we could do that, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's so dumb.
Like, from no practice, we can walk in there right now and do that.
How do you fuck that up, dude? Like, you can't.
I guess it's just the springboard that's tough.
What's there to work on, dude? That's probably the least cool, the least impressive thing he could have done after that jump.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Dude, what about that being a heel move and he gets booed for every time he uses it?
Oh, fuck yeah.
He also did this one, which was, this one's not that bad. It's like after they're like kind of dazed and they're in the corner and they come turning around, walking out of it, he rolls and then kind of gives them like an RKO stunner type move, which is like, it's not bad, but like he rolls before it, which is so unnecessary and dumb and just slows the whole thing down. And he's like, yeah, I'm trying to work on like naming this. What should it be called? And his name is like, I think he goes by like Colton maybe on there, but they're like, yeah, you should call it the Colt 45. It's like, dude, that's already not. And one guy's like, which if you're commenting on a wrestler's page, you know wrestling moves. He's you should call that Rolling Thunder.
Hell yeah,
and he's like, yeah, that's already a fucking move, dude.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Steal it.
What if he's like, dude, I got this move, man. I'm just trying to figure out how to name it. I do a roll, and then I just fucking pin him.
Down rolls. But, dude, all of the promos I've seen have been at the bathroom at Top Hat.
Fuck yeah.
Like, one guy always walks into Top Hat and starts his promo there.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And then in one, he goes into the bathroom, and the guy I work with is just pissing.
Dude, it's so good. This is seriously promo of the year shit.
Dude, we really should go see them next time we get a chance.
I do have to wear a mask or something, though, because I think my brother goes to them now.
Oh. All right, never mind. Let's not go.
Dude,
dude, I got to wear a mask, too.
Yeah, dude. I haven't. So, like, I've told you the saga of. Have I told on the podcast? I'll be real quick, and then we'll get in the episode. So, as you guys know, I've been listening. My brother, he's out of jail. And, like, he sent me a text at, like, 7 in the morning. He's like, Kevin, can you call me, dude? Something crazy happened. I was like, dude, I'm at fucking work. No. He's like, I had sex with a prostitute. He didn't even say it like that. He said, I had sex with a hooker. And then he's like, she's a crackhead. I didn't know that. And then that's when he's like, yeah, I'm going to drink a Rolling Rock. And then he sent me a picture of a can of Rolling Rock.
Yeah, dude.
But then the next day, he's like, yeah, dude, I'm dating that girl. I was like, you just...
dude.
He's like, man, this is fucking awesome, dude. He's like, and he'll always randomly text me and be like, hey, what's up, dude? I'm like, I'm at work. It's 8 in the morning. He's like, yeah, I'm just hanging with my girl. Like, dude, you told me like 3 days ago she was a crackhead hooker. Like,
yeah.
I think I got my swagger back.
Dude, it really is hashtag wall, man, though. It really is.
Yeah, that is. Dude, the amount of times he sent me a picture of just a Rolling Rock and been like, yeah, dude, I'm drinking Rolling Rock. I'm like, cool,
holy
dude.
Holy shit, dude. So good.
And I love Rolling Rock, but like, why the fuck are you sending a picture of it? Like,
but dude, it's like I feel bad for him, but he'll like send me stuff. That'll be like, brother, we will meet again. And I'm like,
oh my god!
Like he speaks dude. Like all of his lines are written for like. Dude. Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, dude, is that just
this is straight
you,
up the most based guy I know.
Wait, are you Raiden? He's fucking what the fuck's his name?
Fucking Liu Kang, dude.
No, the villain in
Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn, yeah. So you're Raiden. He's Shao Kahn.
But dude, it's like okay,
brother, we will meet again. Jesus
this was,
Christ, dude.
Like, keep in mind, he's in his 40s, and he said, "What's up, brother?" And I said, yo, or I said, I'm just finishing up dinner, and then I'm jumping in the shower. What are you up to, dude? And he says, I'm okay. Just drunk and high as fuck. Last night, I fell flat on my face on my friend's floor and slept for 3 hours.
That's like, woman.
I was like, that's cool, dude. You got to be careful. My girl scored me some bomb-ass kush.
Fuck yeah.
His crackhead girlfriend.
Dude, yeah. I didn't even say anything. He was talking about that wrestling thing. I was like, oh, I went to one of those in Mansfield last year with Toof and my buddy Tim. And he said, me and my girlfriend are doing great.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude.
How much he uses, you know, like, we will meet again, brother.
Yeah.
And drinking a Rolling Rock, brother. I think I know who your brother is, brother.
So this was
what
if he's Hulk Hogan?
This was last week, 10 in the morning on Friday. He says, hi. And I said, hey, what's up, dude? This is at 10 in the morning. And I said, I'm at work. What's up, dude? He says, oh, sorry, dude. I forgot. And I said, you're good. I can text on my watch. And then he just says, just with my girl. And then I said, hell yeah. And he says, I'll talk to you later. Why the fuck even message me, dude?
Dude, what about these confirmations of him not being gay? He just needs to put it out there.
How much?
Just let you know, I have a girlfriend.
How much money would you pay just to like change this fucking alternate universe to where he's dating Andrew?
Oh my god. I would weirdly probably get super jealous. Well, what the fuck, dude? Okay, the last thing I'll say, you remember when he got out and I told you like the very first thing he said to me was like, yeah, this is like a vacation from prison, dude. Prison ain't really even all that bad. It's not like the movies. I didn't get raped or anything.
Fuck oh, my God,
I was
God,
like, what the
dude,
fuck,
yes.
dude? I didn't ask. That's the first thing you've told me, dude. Yeah, I know he did. He had to have.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty. let's
but
see.
But it didn't happen or anything.
Yeah, dude. He's like, yeah, people in jail were always on drugs and stuff. I didn't even drink any of the toilet wine. I'm like, cool, dude. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
Like, I don't want him to be addicted to crack, but I do think it'd be like,
it'd be funny.
For him, that would be probably cool. Like, that. If I found out he was a crackhead, I'd be like, all right, this is at least better than 12 years ago where he was.
What if like he knows the immunity card in prison? Like they all gang up on him in the showers and be like, "You ready for your punishment?" And he's like, "Please don't hurt me." Whoop whoop. And they're like, "What the fuck did you just say?" He said, "Whoop whoop." And they're like, "Fuck, dude!" They all just leave.
So, like in American History X, he takes his shirt off, but he just has Ringmaster tattooed on his chest. Shit, dude!
He's like, bite the curb, juggalo.
Fuck, dude, this guy knows the dating game.
Dude, I told you that, like, when he got hired, so he worked with me for, like, a week, and when I saw him, he had a backwards hat on, and it was a Jesus hat.
Hell yeah.
Dude. Okay, we gotta get into this, I'm sorry. We're almost...
I found this on the belt.
Yeah, dude, he probably finds something better on the belt, dude. Dude, I found this
That's where he found his girlfriend?
I found this...
This means we're working at the dump.
Oh god, dude. Alrighty, so here we go. Mr. Cruel. So in the late 1980s and early 1990s, there was this evil person that terrorized Melbourne, Australia. And I hope I'm saying that right. Australian Kate, I believe, told me it was pronounced Melbourne, not Melbourne.
What?
Yeah. The name Mr. Cruel was given to this monster after a newspaper headline in the Sun. His real identity is still unknown.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And real quick, according to the wiki on this guy, this quote, the Sun newspaper gave the perpetrator the moniker of Mr. Cruel after police described a serial home invasion rapist in November 1987 as, quote, super cool and super cruel.
What?
Super cool? What the, this motherfucker strolling wearing Oakleys? Like, what the, the fuck is, how do you describe it? A serial rapist is super cool.
He was
cool.
Wearing a Mr. Freeze suit.
Yeah, dude, he fucking came in. As soon as he entered the house to rape, they played Shawn Michaels' theme song. Like, what the fuck? Yeah.
That's a sexy boy.
But I guess the newspaper originally called him, like, Mr. Cool because of the way he, like, talked. And I don't fucking know. But then they changed it to Mr. Cruel as, like, a play on it, and it stuck. But, yeah, how do you
describe that
as, like, cool? Like, how's that cool, dude?
They're, like, old people who think cool is a bad thing.
Yeah, if that's cool, then my brother's the fucking coolest dude on earth. So.
Hey, they're like, hey, if peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
What are horseshoes? Are there any horse socks?
It's Nudie Magazine Day.
The guy who played Ernie did an AMA on Reddit a while back.
Did they ask him how many people he's murdered?
Dude, fucking Nicolas Cage did an AMA the other day. Like they were telling him how he had like more questions asked than Obama did. Oh. And he gave this like video where he's like, oh, it was an honor. He's like, you could tell the people asking questions were genuine because he answered every question almost like he didn't stray away from some of them. Because like fucking, I remember when Woody Harrelson did it. He has a legendary AMA where he doesn't answer any question. He just says, I only want to talk about the movie Rampart because that was coming out. Yeah. Dude, it's so fucking good.
Dude, I love Woody Harrelson.
He's like, let's keep the questions about Rampart.
Ask me anything about Rampart.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's here, so I can hurry up and find it quick, just a real quick.
The Nicolas Cage AMA.
I'm actually excited to watch the new Nicolas Cage movie, Amazing Talent or something like that.
Okay, here it is, dude. I'm Woody Harrelson.
About Andrew giving head?
Oh, yeah.
I can't even find it, dude.
Yeah, Kev, because it doesn't exist. You've lost it.
Hi, Reddit. It's Woody here. I'm in New York today doing interviews for my new film, Rampart, which opens in theaters on February 10th. I'll be checking in from 3 to 4 today, and I will get to as many of your questions as I can. So start asking now. This was 10 years ago. I'm just trying to find one where oh, dude, even the admin is like, did you know about Reddit before today?
Like, what the fuck is Rampart? Yeah.
One of the top comments is, the former Chuck E. Cheese worker AMA was a million times better than this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to find an answer by him, but I can't because I'm pretty sure they're all downvoted so fucking far you'll never see it.
Oh, my God, dude.
But, yes. Yeah, like, anytime anyone asked a question, he didn't answer anything. He just would reply with, let's just keep the questions about Rampart. Like, no one wants to fucking talk about that.
That's how you know he was really running it.
Dude, let me try to find...
Woody's the only one with less karma than EA.
Oh, dude.
Woody, you're my favorite actor. Oh, yeah, don't talk about that. Just talk about Rampart, please.
Oh, dude.
The only question he answers, like, were you sad about 9/11? He said, no. I'm sad that Rampart hasn't hit theaters yet.
They're like, hey, can white men jump? They're like, he's like, dude, let's just talk about Rampart.
Yeah.
Keep it to Rampart.
Can Rampart jump to number one? Only you can make that happen.
Damn it, dude. I wish I could find it. Okay, dude. I don't know what this question is, but this got -683 points.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
What's the question? Oh, out of all the roles you played, which has been the most rewarding, most difficult, and most fun? And if you are willing to answer, what's the one role you wish you didn't take? His answer, can I say Rampart? It really took over my life for a while. I wouldn't say fun is the operative word. Okay, then he goes on. Who gives a fuck? But
dude. What is Rampart? What the fuck is that?
Dude. Yeah, no one remembers it. It was 10 years ago.
I don't know, dude. The reason I love seeing you in movies is that you always seem so natural, well-adjusted, and in character, no matter the role. What has been your most difficult role to prepare for and why? His answer, this character in Rampart was the most difficult.
Oh, my God. Steve,
it's
yes.
So fun.
Hey, I looked up some stats. Rampart, 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb. 74% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 74.
Here's where it gets really funny. Budget, $12 million. Box office, $1.5
million. Oh, got him.
Dude.
Good thing you did that Reddit, AMA.
That's right. Dude.
Okay, this is the last one I'll read, I promise. So this guy, this is the top one. He says, I swear this is an allegedly true story. I went to a high school in L.A. and you allegedly crashed our prom after party. You allegedly ended up taking the virginity of a girl named Roseanne. You allegedly didn't call her afterwards. She allegedly cried a lot. Do you remember any of this and can confirm, or have you allegedly been so knee deep in Hollywood pootie for so long that this qualifies as a mere blip? This was his reply. First off, it's not true. And second off, I don't want to answer questions about that. Let's focus on the film, people. Mine is 2,130 downvotes, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Yeah. First off, that's not true. Okay, let's get to this. I'm so sorry. So, alrighty. So, we're going to be talking about super cool Mr. Cruel, I guess. Mm. So, we're going to be talking about the known attacks by this guy. But keep in mind, even though there are three attacks that we know Mr. Cruel did for sure, and we'll also talk about a different one, a different fourth one, he is a suspect in others, and who knows how much more this guy actually did. This dude likes to terrorize by first breaking into houses while wearing a mask, and he would then tie up the parents, and then he would take the daughter and the family and disappear. So he would like break into houses, fucking tie him up, and then just take the daughter and leave.
Ugh.
Tooth's cheesing out.
Dude, this guy.
And,
fuck yeah. He's I'm trying to make like a Robin Hood joke. He steals from the parents and gives to his penis. I don't know.
Wow,
Jesus.
That was mean. I will say though, as long as Mr. Cruel is wearing a balaclava, not a gator mask, then all is forgiven in my world at the Cavs fucking game.
Yeah,
if he just eats wings, then apparently he's allowed to do that.
I listen to a bunch of random episodes. We tell that story so much.
Yeah, dude, we told it like four times. Yeah. I wasn't even there.
So here's a description from that Story Maps website. It gives you an idea of what this guy's about. Story Maps is really cool. It tells like the main details and summary of the case, and then you follow along like on an interactive map in a way. It shows you like where everything is. It's pretty cool. Quote, on multiple occasions, he took victims from their homes to an unknown location where he sexually assaulted them before dropping them off in another suburban area to be found and returned to their families. The perpetrator is known as Mr. Cruel, because of the meticulous planning of his attacks and his tendency to trick the parents of victims by pretending his only motive was to rob them before kidnapping their children. He also planted red herrings at the crime scenes to investigators. To this day, Mr. Cruel remains unidentified.
But did he plant actual red herrings?
Red herring did it. he did some pretty wild things. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I'm digging him so far.
Yeah, you would.
Not the raping part. Just like...
So what part?
So no murders?
There is... We'll get there.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right. Because I was like, if there's no murders, it's hard to look past the raping part.
No, before you go further, so if he's only raping kids, what were you going to say, Toof?
Oh, no. Like I said, if we can look past that, it's like super cool that like planning the red herrings, being super smart. Like,
yeah.
And this isn't like 19. This isn't like 1850s. This is what you said, late 80s, early 90s.
So if we look past all of that, he's just Jared from Subway.
Yeah.
Instead of planting red herrings, he's planting red peppers on his sub.
Fucking Jared.
Him and Mr. Cool both have something in common. They're both packing footlongs.
Oh, yeah, dude. Shit. Hell yeah, they are. So, first event takes place during the early morning of August 22nd, 1987. At roughly 4 a.m., quote, a masked man known only by his moniker, Mr. Cruel, broke into a family's home in the quiet suburb of Lower Plenty on the outskirts of Melbourne, Australia. Lower Plenty is what my mom referred to as the bottom 10% of her Good and Plenty box, by the way.
Oh, my God, dude. Damn, I was going to say that was your mom's nickname for your dad.
That's what he asked for whenever he wanted her to lick the bottom of his nuts. Hey, could you give some attention to my Lower Plenty? Ah, shit. Rest in peace, Dad. So, yeah, he breaks into the home of this family, okay? He has a knife in one hand and a gun in the other. He's wearing a mask, so the only thing visible are his eyes and a hole for his mouth.
Fuck yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, I gotta respect someone who's a dual wielder.
Yeah, that does take extra. You gotta use a bonus action if you want to fucking swing with that offhand.
Yeah, that means he's all offense, no defense. I like his style.
Glass cannon, dude.
Yeah.
They should have just called him the glass cannon guy. Since, actually, no, I do agree. Mr. Cool is the perfect name for this dude. He fucking comes in and flicks a cigarette in the dad's face immediately and tells him to clean it up.
He maybe cleaned it up with my anus.
With my anus.
What's the hole in the mask for so your wife can feed me pie?
Oh, yeah. He's so cool. It's like, why do you have that hole in your mask? And he fucking inhales a cigarette and he looks at the wife and says, you play your cards right, you'll find out what it's for. He's so fuck. I'm just picturing him as Brian Fantana now.
Fuck yeah.
Oh my god.
In
yes.
a fucking ski mask.
Like his Alrighty. Mustache is like coming out of the mask. He's like, bitch, you want to ride this?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, quote, he forced both parents onto their stomachs, bound their hands and feet, and lock them in a closet. So this is at around 4 a.m. He breaks in. He has a knife in one hand, gun in the other. Goes to the parents' room, ties them up, locks them in the closet. And then he goes to the 7-year-old son's room, and he ties him up as well, ties him to the bed. And then he attacked the 11-year-old daughter. Yeah. After that, Jesus. He cut the phone lines and left. So, of course, unfortunately, by attack the 11-year-old daughter, we mean that he sexually assaulted her, he rapes her.
Man.
Since he's wearing a mask, there's no way to identify him at all. So, like, all the police drawings of him, like, this isn't funny at all, but all the police drawings of, like, what he looks like is literally just, like, a fucking ski mask guy.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like, and since it's kids drawing a guy in a ski mask.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we think we got him. It's Kenny from South Park.
Like, it's fucked up. Here, let me I'll look up a picture real quick. So Mr. Cruel, he gets into the house by removing a pane of glass. I can't believe I wrote this joke. Mr. Cruel, he gets into the house by removing a pane of glass. In parentheses, it must have been a pain in the ass. Explain how or why.
Are they going to do the looking at you through the glass?
I'm looking at you through the glass, waiting on your parents to go to fucking bed.
All I know is that it feels like forever.
Is your brother sleeping on the top bunk? So... and it's my mask that hides my face. So Mr. Cruel, he removes a pane of glass in the living room, and then he goes into the parents' room. He has a fucking gun in one hand, knife in the other. He makes the parents roll over, lay on their stomachs while he ties them up, and then he shoves them in the closet. The 6-year-old son, he ties them to the bed with surgical tape. And then Mr. Cruel sexually assaults the 11-year-old for over 2 hours.
Jesus Christ, man. Yeah,
super fucked up. In the same house?
Ugh. Yeah, that house. It's super fucked up, gross. But I will say, like, I know we make jokes to fit, like, we're just making all these jokes on being cool and stuff. Fuck this guy. This guy's awful. Yeah. Super fucked up. I do kind of like what he does next, though. On the way out, as he's leaving, he fucking jacks a milk crate full of records.
Wait,
yeah, there's like a milk crate that's full of vinyl records, and he fucking jacks it on the way out, dude.
Man. Fuck yeah.
I hope it's just the Shags is the only record
he's
in
like,
there,
damn,
dude.
They got a good collection here. You know what?
He comes back in. He's like, no way. He goes
what
to
the
dad. Is it cool if I take
that?
This? What's that, dude?
The parents are more mad about that.
Oh, dude, come on. It's like, son of a bitch,
that motherfucker raped my daughter. Oh, my God, he took the records? Call the cops.
Man, had Appetite for Destruction on there. That wasn't even out. Yeah, this is an 87. But, yeah, so he takes that, and then he also takes a coat for some reason. Takes a coat. Besides that, though, no clues are left behind. Some sources say that during the 2 hours, he took a fucking break and cooked himself a meal.
Wow. Damn.
And
dude.
Then, like, went back to raping the girl.
Jesus.
Damn.
Yeah, dude.
He ate a Snickers. I'm not even trying to take a joke.
Damn, dude.
This isn't funny.
Yeah.
What the fuck did he cook, dude?
I don't know, dude. A grill. He pops in the son's room. Did you want some dino nuggets?
Yeah, what if they're like, yeah, he was actually able to make the red lobster rolls.
He's like, I'm not going to finish off these curlies if anyone wants any.
Hey, guys, but I got steak and shake. Anybody want anything? Or?
I know you'll probably tell us later, but like detail-wise, but I mean, like, if he didn't get caught, that probably means he didn't leave fingerprints right.
Right.
So he had to have worn gloves. But if he didn't, how do they not catch him, dude? He's like literally touching everything in their fucking house.
I don't know, dude. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna be steaming some brisket. I'm gonna be here a while. He's like, he puts on the fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy for the family to watch.
He said, hey, you're also a slow cooker working. I want to make some roast.
Yeah. Yeah. According to this, we're going to make some Mississippi pot roast. Should take about 6 hours. I'll be here a while.
Steaming brisket is when he takes the hair curling iron and fucking burns his pubes.
The fuck? Okay. So besides that, there's no clues left behind. Wild shit. And this part is pretty fucking wild too, but it will make more sense after I explain it. Quote, the little girl was eventually able to tell the police that the intruder used the family phone to call someone else during one of his break-ins while attacking her.
Oh, damn.
From what the girl heard, this call was a threatening one, with the man demanding the person on the other end of the line to move their children or they would be next. And he also referred to this unknown person as Bozo. Police eventually checked the family's phone records, but there's no record of this call whatsoever. Wow. So Mr. Krull just fucking acted this all out, did all this shit on purpose just to confuse the family and plant fake evidence.
Wow, dude, that's so fucking good.
So, like, that's a red herring he did to fuck with him. He just faked that entire conversation.
Damn.
Like, just to give him fake clues, and it worked. Bozo, dude.
So, it's Mac. I'm calling people Bozo now.
Yeah, dude, Bozo. That's good, dude. That's fucked up. One possible clue, though, the knot that Mr. Krull used when tying up the parents, it was a knot most commonly used by sailors or those with the nautical experience. And like the father noticed this, he recognized the knot from his sailing days. And as Mr. Krull was tying him up, he told him, he's like, oh, I recognize this knot. And Mr. Krull said, you better not mention that again, you cocksucker.
Yeah. You better not mention that, Bozo.
Oh, you button hooked me. Yeah, so as far as we know, Mr. Krull was quiet for about a year. And then at around 5:45 a.m., 2 days after Christmas, December 27th, 1988, Mr. Krull breaks into the Wills family home, which was located on Hillcrest Avenue in East Ringwood. And,
Is it a good one, Ken?
No, dude, it's not worth it. And this home is located just a couple of miles southeast of where the last attack was. So we have John Wills, his wife, and then their four children. They're all asleep in the home. And like we said, it's just 2 days after Christmas. Some sources say there were three children. Some say four, so I don't fully know. But Mr. Krull, he sleeps in a little bit later than last time. He waits until almost 6 a.m. before this crime. Quote, wearing dark blue overalls and a dark ski mask, Mr. Krull broke into the Wills' home and held a gun to John Wills' head. As before, he clutched a knife in his other hand, and he told the parents to roll onto their stomachs, and then he bound and gagged them.
Fuck,
while dude. Holding a gun to John's head, he told him, don't be a hero. And then he bound them up and tied them up with copper wire. Lucky for Mr. Krull, though, it was the Wills' house and not the Will Smith's house.
Oh, that's right.
Otherwise, he would have yelled, keep your fucking gag out of my wife's mouth.
And then let the guy fuck her.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Don't touch my... Don't talk about my wife. But you can fuck her.
That's right.
Dude, it's so fucking good.
Did they try to hide in the booth?
What's that?
Did they try to hide in the booth at all?
Okay, toll booth, Willie, dude?
No, is it's, that just, what it no is? It's just John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, John. Okay. I thought you were doing toll booth, Willie. I'm coming out of the booth.
No, it's just John Wilkes Booth.
And here's another example of Mr. Krull just being a fucking monster. He assured John and his wife, he's like, hey, I'm only here for the money. I'm only here to rob you guys. That's all I want is the money. However, jeez, this motherfucker, he leaves their room. He leaves them tied up and gagged. He goes and cuts the phone lines, and then he makes his way to the bedroom where all four of the daughters are sleeping.
Jesus, what? Dude. No.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, it's fucked. Quote, addressing 10-year-old Sharon Wills by name. So he fucking is like, Sharon, hey, Sharon, yeah. Addressing her by name, the man quickly woke her up, blindfolded her, and gagged her, then picked up a few items of her clothing and fled the house with her early the next morning. So Mr. Krull knew this child by name, which means he had to have known the family or been familiar with them at some point to know the child's name. Mm. The dad was able to free himself, and he tried to call for help, but that's when he noticed that the phone lines were cut. So he runs to the neighbor's house to use their phone, but unfortunately, it was too late. Mr. Krull was gone, and so was his 10-year-old daughter, Sharon. Mm.
Damn.
Yeah, and here's another wild thing that happens. Quote, but 18 hours later, a woman stumbled upon a tiny figure standing on a street corner just after midnight. Dressed in green garbage bags, it was Sharon Wills.
Wow.
As Sharon was reunited with her family, she gave police some starting clues as to who her attacker could be. So she was kidnapped for 18 hours, and then she just was left outside of a fucking gas station wrapped up in garbage bags.
Wow.
Like, I think she had a shirt on maybe, but like wrapped in green garbage bags.
Where do you get green garbage bags?
Probably an Australian thing.
I don't know.
But is Sharon the youngest? Like, there's four daughters. Was she the youngest?
You know, I'm not sure. I remember one of those sources did have the ages. So if you do want to find out more about this case, look at those sources, because some do give more descriptions in details. I didn't want to boggle everything down. I kind of wanted to cover as much as we could, but not all the little details. Uh-oh.
They get, I just think it'd be like,
Spence and Sam, you guys
up, like,
still
if
there?
You chose the youngest or...
What's that?
Oh, it says you're not here on my screen.
Oh, can you hear us?
Nope.
Yeah, I hear you. Lose yourself.
But yeah, that'd be like, it's so fucked up if, ooh, like, shit, he chose the youngest out of the four daughters, or...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could say, like, it's better if he chooses the oldest of the underage girls, I guess, but still...
Yeah, dude. Fucking, that's like, what Chris D'Elia calls that, the fucking Sunday morning buffet.
Yeah, like, when he walked into that bedroom, it's like, shit, I hit the jackpot.
Shit. He's like, which one do I want first?
But I get what Toof's saying, like, if you pick the oldest one or the youngest one or one in the middle, it kind of, like, tells you, like, what kind of child rapist he is, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, like, I don't know if, like, you can call it honorable, but if he picks the oldest one, it's like,
honorable.
Oh, okay, he picked the 16-year-old at least, but yeah, no.
That's what we
he
like.
He picks literally the one who doesn't even, can't even play ball.
That's what we like, is honorable child rapist. Thank yeah, you for bringing that up, yeah. too. If that is what the podcast is about, honoring the honorable child rapist.
This is why we have no listeners.
There's some that are just some of them are just scummy, bottom-of-the-barrel ones. But you know what? There's some
that aren't at the bottom of the barrel.
There are some that direct movies, even. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. There's some who have like a really, really hit sitcom.
Dude, what about how we made all these jokes about Deshaun Watson, and now he's the fucking Browns starting quarterback? Dude. I wouldn't be surprised if one of you die and somehow Chris D'Elia replaces you guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised now.
Honestly, I would hate that. I wouldn't be upset.
Chris D'Elia replacing us. You mean I can finally take off this stupid rubber tooth mask and show who I really am?
Yeah. I thought I saw some fucking grease dripping on your neck, dude. I hate Chris D'Elia, dude.
Hey, that wasn't grease, and trust me, that wasn't pee either.
Have you seen Chris D'Elia's dumbass tattoos?
Oh, dude. No.
They're fucking like, he's already just pure garbage.
What are they, dude? Because they have to be bad.
Yeah, they're real fucking dumb, dude. Let me try to find one.
Is one of them, like, supposed to be, like, a star of something, and it's the wrong amount of, tattoos? Like, stars? Like, I feel like he would have that, like, the wrong amount of something.
Dude, the Fast and the Furious one isn't real, right?
No, that can't be real, dude.
Okay, all right.
He got a tattoo on his neck. I don't know.
You guys are looking
that
up. I have to pee.
All right, I see the paper plane one. I think that's a real one.
Dude, I hate this guy. Adam Levine got a face tattoo. That's the Maroon 5 guy. Oh, my God, dude. It's like, Adam Levine is like, I don't want to offend anyone, but he's a singer from Maroon 5, and I feel like he's just trying so hard to prove he's not gay, and every choice he makes just make him seem gayer, you know?
Yeah.
Like, remember when he had when at the Super Bowl and he had all those dumbass tattoos, dude? The people just pretty much called him Jared Leto, the fucking Joker, dude.
All right, so one of Chris D'Elia's tattoos is a bald eagle on his wrist, and its wings are opening, and behind its wings are flames coming out.
Dude, I'm looking at Jared Leto's Joker tattoos. He has one that's just, look... a dagger through the bat symbol. Why would the Joker ever get that tattoo? Why would he get that? I mean, they're all bad. Like, they're all real stupid. He has an arrow through a bird. These are fucking stupid. Jared Leto. He's fucking a garbage person, too.
Why is it so hard to find Chris D'Elia's, like, full tattoo discography, pretty much?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I went in a cornfield today.
That was good.
I went in a cornfield.
That was a good one. I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah, I thought you showed me that. But I do remember the other ones you showed me, though.
There's that ends with him putting his cat in the oven.
Yeah, oh dude. I just think that's like too dark or something like that. And then,
yep.
Dude, the Joker costume guy is awesome. Suicide Squad Joker tattoo shirt. Look at the fucking guy that's like.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Quit showing me my family members.
Dude, just.
I know which kind of family that is.
Juggalo family, dude. Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
If anyone wants to have fun, just Google, like, Joker tattoo shirt and just look at the models of the guys wearing the shit. It's fucking good.
Oh, hey, so I already called it off. I think it's May 22nd. Oh, my God, I am looking at that. May 22nd, I think it's a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Is Whiskey Myers is in Cleveland
or
Columbus?
I don't think Sunday. It's Tuesday. Yeah, Sunday. I looked it up.
Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd definitely go.
Sounds good.
I'd have to see if I have a day. I want to, though. That'd be cool. Get to see our boy Tony.
Hell yeah.
If I don't know what time it starts at or whatnot, but yeah, I called it off. I'll probably get tickets for it.
What day is that, Doof?
The 22nd of May, Sunday.
Yeah, I could take a vacation. I would go.
All righty. Where were we? So, Mr. Cruel, he let her go. Quote, because Wills was blindfolded throughout the assault, she was unable to give a full physical description of Mr. Krull, but she did recall how shortly before letting her go, the suspect made sure to give her a thorough bath. So it's so weird, like all this meticulous shit that he did, like he didn't want any chance of him being found out. So he washed her body, like gave her a thorough bath. He clipped her fingernails, toenails, brushed her teeth, and flossed them.
Jesus, dude.
Which is like, it's fucked up to say, but it's like he had to make sure like anything that touched him didn't have any DNA.
Yeah.
It's fucking gross.
But because he let her go, it's the only way you can know he loved her.
Oh my god, tooth or Spence.
Yeah, that was a
tooth. Man, that was a tooth move. Ah, shit, dude.
He only let her go because she.
Jesus, dude.
Okay, that one I gotta cut. Yeah. That one I gotta cut. Quote, while she was held captive, Sharon repeatedly heard the sound of low flying aircraft. Leading authorities to believe that she was held somewhere in the Tullamarine Airport flight path. That, like, they would be able to, like, have some idea where this fucking dude is. But Mr. Krull...
Dude, what if he was just playing a recording of airplanes flying low?
He just played the beginning of Mr. Deeds over and over. That dude at the airport.
I was going to ask, what year is this?
That one was in 1988.
Oh, okay, so... Okay. Couple years after the Challenger.
God, Tim. Fuck, dude. Oh, my God. That'd be wild if that's...
Yeah.
So, sadly, Mr. Krull wasn't done yet, for he would strike again, this time on July 3rd, 1990, in the suburb of Canterbury, Victoria, which is west of Ringwood and south of Lower Plenty. Quote, here resided the Linus family, a well-off English family who'd been renting a house along the prestigious Monmouth Avenue. The distinguished neighborhood had been home to plenty of Australian politicians and public officials in its time, making it a secure area to live in, or so many believed.
Wait, Monmouth Avenue?
What's that?
Monmouth Avenue. So they got mono.
And it's probably not pronounced that. Monomeath. Monomeath. I don't know.
Meth. I like
those Australians are into some weird shit.
On that day, Brian and Rosemary Linus were attending a farewell party and left their two daughters at home alone. Then, just before midnight, 15-year-old Fiona and 13-year-old Nicola were awoken by the ranting, commanding orders of a masked intruder. So it's about 11:40 or so. Mr. Krull breaks into the home of the Linus family. And like we said, there's a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old that are alone while their parents are away. He breaks in, Mr. Krull does, wielding a knife and a gun. He first then ties up the 15-year-old and... He just fucking, he finds more ways to make shit, like it's already a child rapist, and it's already super fucking gross, but then he just does stuff that makes you be like, dude, this guy is just fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, he puts sardines on pizza?
Worse, pineapple.
What a monster.
So he ties up the 15-year-old, which means he's taking the 13-year-old, and he tells her, hey, while I'm tying up your sister, go grab your Presbyterian ladies' college school uniform.
Oh,
it's her school uniform.
Jesus.
So
dude.
He knew she went there, and he makes her go get her school uniform.
Oof. What the hell?
Yeah. And then after she gets it, he tells her that if her parents want her back, they'll need to pay him $25,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kidnaps her. He also steals the family's rental car on the way out. he drives it for like 10 minutes, then parks it, and then like a half a mile away from the house, he gets into a different car.
Like, fuck, that part is almost hashtag wild, man.
Yeah, jumps in the...
I fucking hate him so much, but that's funny.
He's like, this next part really going to hurt. And he hops in the Hertz rental car. I couldn't think of anything funny. Yeah. Do you remember when OJ was the spokesperson for Hertz rental?
Fuck yeah.
Oh,
dude.
Fuck,
oh my
yeah.
God, no.
He still should be.
Hell yeah, dude.
About OJ, like back then before all this happened, he's like, Hertz rental, we slash prices. You can't beat any competitor.
Our gloves are off.
I was like, hurt him. I hurt him twice.
So what he did is he drove like half a mile down the road with her, and then he put her into a different vehicle and took off. And after about 20 minutes from when Mr. Krull left with Nicola, her parents, Brian and Rosemary, returned home. So they missed him by 20 minutes.
Damn.
They found their 15-year-old daughter tied up, a ransom note that was left, and then their 13-year-old nowhere to be found. Then 2 days later, July 5th, 1990, Nicola, after being held in a house for more than 2 days, she was found alive beside an electricity substation in Kew, about 5 kilometers from her home.
Was Murr or Joe around? Or
I couldn't hear you. What was that, Primo?
I said, was Murr or Joe around?
Oh, my God, Q. It's K-E-W. I don't know how to pronounce these things. Q, dude.
Sounds right.
That's so fucking good, dude. Joe or Murr.
Did they leave? Is it on the site you were looking up and stuff? Were they? Do they have a picture of the note, the ransom note?
I don't think so.
Cause like, how the fuck are you supposed to pay a guy a ransom note if he like doesn't say like leave the money somewhere or put it in this bank account or just something like?
Here's my address.
Yeah, like all he knows is where they live. Are we supposed to leave $25,000 on our front door?
I think there was details on it, possibly. Okay. But I don't remember exactly how. But I think the family like went to the news and was like, "Hey, we're willing to pay the $25,000. Just let us know." So like they had the money and stuff. So yeah, so she was held for more than 2 days, and then she was found alive beside an electricity substation. And about 5 kilometers from her home. So not that far. That's what, 2.5, 3 miles?
Yeah.
Something like that. Or is it a kilometer? Yeah. Okay, I think that's right.
Yeah, we'll just go with it, whatever.
So it's wild. She was found alive, fully dressed, wrapped in a blanket, but she was still blindfolded. Quote.
Wait a minute. Fully dressed, like in the schoolgirl uniform, or did he take that?
I don't know. I'm not sure,
what if
dude.
He took it?
He probably did. Quote. Yeah. When she was confident that Mr. Krull had driven away, she removed the blindfold and shakily made her way to a nearby house. It was just after 2 a.m. when she phoned home. She would later tell authorities that she could also hear aircraft from the house where she is being held captive.
Huh.
She didn't have, and this is what sucks. So he stays blindfold, or he stays like wearing a mask and keeps them blindfolded and shit the whole time, so she doesn't really get a good description of him. She did say he possibly had reddish brown hair and was about roughly 5'8", which, I mean, you can't fault the girl for not being able to describe him. You know, I mean, she's a 13-year-old girl who's held captive and sexually assaulted. But like 5'8" and reddish brown hair is like 95% of the population there. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I just thought of something gross.
Yeah.
Wait, you did too?
How did she know he had a reddish brown hair if he keeps the mask on?
Toof.
God damn.
Was it
toof.
So it was an Irish man. them fire pubes is what you're getting at, Jeremiah.
What about like him getting caught because he doesn't believe in shaving his pubes?
Yeah, possibly, dude.
It really is.
He
possible,
kept putting
though.
Him on that pizza and making that kid in the cafeteria
fuck
eat it.
Yeah, dude.
That's how he got the name Mr. Cool.
After that, he changed it to Mr. Super Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they changed that kid who's ate the pizza's name to Andrew.
So yeah, it is a bummer. Like, there's a little bit of a description, but it doesn't help. But like I said, you couldn't really expect. The dude fucking wears a mask the entire time and then keeps them blindfolded. Quote, some details of her ordeal were more horrifying. She revealed that throughout her time in captivity, she was forced to lay down into a neck brace contraption fastened to the abductor's bed, restraining her while she was abused. Ugh. So she's like held in place by like a fucking neck brace contraption.
Yeah.
She said she heard him speaking aloud to another person, but she never heard a response. Investigators weren't entirely sure whether this meant there was actually an accomplice, but it's more likely that this was another one of Mr. Krull's many red herrings. Months after the Linus's family moved back to England, Nicola told investigators that she heard a low-flying aircraft while in her abductor's home. Investigators thought that this meant the suspect lived in the surrounding vicinity of the nearby Tullamarine Airport, more than likely in its direct flight path. So all three victims said that there was low-flying aircraft where they're being held captive. Or is that two? Is that three victims now or two that have said that?
Maybe two.
Two, I think.
So, I mean, and he knows these locations he's going to. He knows, like fucking Santa Claus, he knows when they're fucking sleeping. He knows when they're awake. He knows when their parents aren't going to be home for 20 minutes. So, like, he has to be fucking, like, stalking these people, like, camping out their homes and houses and waiting for, like, the perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
the one girl said he might have red brownish hair. If she said he would have had gray hair and the neck contraption thing, I would have easily put this case on Jigsaw.
Yeah, dude. It's too bad there's no, like, clues that, like, definitely point him out. She's like, yeah, he removed a rib and sucked his own dick. We're like, okay, we fucking know who that was. Fucking Marilyn.
He kept telling jokes about how everyone fucks his pussy. And I was like, holy shit. Amy Schumer was kidnapping these kids.
She's like, yeah, he kept asking me for like a back massage, then putting my fingers into his butthole.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, can you at least wait till after the goddamn season before you turn him in? we need a fucking winning season.
Man, come on, let's get the Super Bowl, then we'll fucking turn him in.
Okay, I know the listeners, they want our take. I'm wearing a fucking Browns hoodie right now. They want to know what we think. I'll tell you after the if it's a winning season,
yeah,
I'm going to keep my mouth shut,
that's right,
baby. No, yeah, I do think that he should be in trouble, and I want him in jail after his fucking contract's over with the Browns. yeah, dude, throw his ass in jail. How long is his contract? 5 years? In about 5 years,
yeah,
dude.
Give him 5 years. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I hope he wins the Super Bowl and he does the fucking MVP speech, and it just starts off with, just to let you all know, they were asking for
it. Oh, fuck. Yeah,
oh, my
dude.
God.
And you know what I was asking for? And then he points his ass to the camera.
He's like, they were asking for it. And then it's quiet, and this is his way to be funny. He's like, Cleveland, they were asking for a championship. And we all cheer. Yeah. We fucking carry him through the streets.
And then he makes the cameraman fuck him in the ass.
Yeah, dude. We all finger his butt. If he wins Super Bowl, I'll finger his butt all he wants.
I'll do it right now.
So, like, you know when, like, wrestlers come down the aisle and, like, circle the ring and stuff, all the fans hold their hands out and, like, sometimes they'll just walk by and clap all their hands? What about during the Browns Super Bowl parade, he just pulls his dick out and everyone holds their hands out and all touch his dick?
Fuck yeah, dude. You guys will have to be fighting me off, dude, because I'll be there. Nah, these are obviously jokes. It does.
He didn't
it
do it.
Does
innocent.
Suck. It's fucking.
Yeah, he didn't do it. Didn't do shit, you know man. That.
I mean, fuck it. Cosby's
I know we
not in
say
jail
stuff
anymore.
For the listeners to sound PC, but we all know he didn't do it.
No evidence.
Yeah. Neither did. Honestly, dude, you know what's weird? My mom, like, strangely, more than once, for no reason, has defended Bill Cosby to me.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, mom?
Hashtag wild woman.
Hashtag wild woman.
You're like, strangely enough, my mom re-upped her masseuse license.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we might have to cut this, but we have a friend married to a masseuse that does massages for Cleveland athletes. We can find out.
Yeah.
We just got to smell her fingers after the massage.
Yeah, we definitely could.
Well, hopefully she wasn't working on Gamble. That would throw it off.
He could start over Mario Chalmers. We know that for sure.
So we've talked about Gamble a bunch, but it's like one of the fattest guys in the world that we play basketball with. He really just had like the circumference of the earth. Like guy was fucking huge, dude.
Yeah.
You could throw something at him and it would just start fucking orbiting around him.
Yeah, dude. If Pluto's a planet, this dude's a planet.
He's
dude,
fucking
Gamble's
huge.
So fucking fat. I bet he doesn't even wipe his ass. That motherfucker's more stained brown than the fucking
Tooth. Why the fuck, dude?
Oh,
yes.
It wasn't about shitting on the streets. It was more like they're.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's worse. They're all I gotta bleep all that out. Okay, we gotta hurry. I gotta take
it's
a dump.
What's going
okay,
on?
Okay, stop. I gotta cut all this shit out, dude. All right, we gotta hurry up because I gotta take a dump, Toof.
Okay.
So lastly, we come to our final. Dude, what if Deshaun Watson, the only reason he had him do that is because like he paid for an hour massage and he had to poop real bad, so he kept putting their fingers there to push the poop back up into him.
I think I got my swagger back.
Okay, back to this. He's like, hey, could you go ahead and this is, I have to bleep this, but he's like, hey, could you go ahead and push back up there?
Because of the finger thing, he went to the Browns, because if he didn't do all those sexual assaults, then he could have went to the Saints.
Yeah, dude. He came to the Browns because all the Cleveland... Never mind. I'm going to say they were asking for it. I'm just joking, dude.
Jesus, dude.
Oh, shit. Yeah, dude. By the time the massage is over, them ladies' panties will be wetter than Lake Erie.
Fuck yeah, dude. Interviewing Deshaun Watson, he's like, yeah, I heard Baker Mayfield came into a shitty situation when he was drafted. Well, so did those masseuses.
Yeah, dude. After the massage, they start calling him Da Bomb Watson because he fucking rules. I'm just joking. Okay. God. Thank God no one listens this far. Okay.
Except ourselves.
So lastly,
Well, as soon as the listener heard child rapist, everyone left except Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, oh shit. How'd they find all this out about me?
That's not true.
Oh, 1 second. My mom's gone.
It wasn't a ski mask. It was Andrew's unibrow.
Hello? Hang on 1 second. Because mom's calling me.
I'm podcasting, but it's okay, mama.
What the fuck?
No, you're okay.
Mom. What about Kevin being the serial killer and he's faking the call?
Yeah, I'll get it.
If he calls her Bozo, we'll know.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, that's Ballad's favorite.
Oh, Ballad's favorite. What, you get a massage by Deshaun Watson?
What's that, because mom? Yes, he is a f-
I'll try. Yeah, we'll get everything we need.
Oh wait, I'm getting a text from Kevin's mom. Hey, I'm calling Kevin right now to distract him. Go steal that fucking baby.
He's doing good. Yeah, he's doing real good. Oh no, you're right. I love you. Bye.
Hey, this is going to sound weird. I was talking to my mom, and it sounded like she was texting somebody. So I didn't hear what you said. I just heard I'm getting a text from Kevin's mom, so I can't wait to hear it when I go edit this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So good. So lastly, we come to our final known attack of Mr. Krull's, April 13th, 1991. Mr. Krull would break into the home of John and Phyllis Chan. Just so happens that on that night, the 13-year-old daughter, Kermaine, she would be babysitting her two younger siblings while her parents were away.
Was her son Jackie up to?
Dude, there's in the very first Drunken Master movie, not Legend of the Drunken Master, but just the Drunken Master, there's a part where I don't remember what happens. I just remember like Jackie Chan is like, he tries to like grab this girl or something and she might slap him or something. I don't remember. But he goes, me touch her. She was asking for it, you dumb bitch. Yeah, hell dude, yeah. It's fucking great.
That'd be a good jingle.
So wait, before excluding the first crime,
yes,
has he attacked all the girls when they're home alone?
So the first two, he ties up the parents.
Oh, the first two,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But the first one he did at the home, The next two he took them,
yeah.
And then dropped them off.
What will he do for the fourth? The fourth is the hardest because you've already done the trilogy, and now the audience is like, seriously, number four?
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to go for a prequel.
Yeah, this is the most fucked up of them all. lastly, so this is his final known attack,
it's
Mr.
Like the
Cruel.
Phantom Menace of the attack.
April 13th, 1991. Mr. Cruel, he always knows when to attack. He always waits for the best opportunity. It's scary, like, how much planning goes into this.
Oh, for sure.
Detectives believe that he would stake out the victims for weeks, possibly even months ahead of time, like learning their schedules and habits and movements and everything. So it's about 8:40 or so in the evening. Carmaine and one of her sisters head into the kitchen to make some snacks. And standing there in the kitchen wearing a balaclava and a gray and green tracksuit is Mr. Cruel. He says, quote, "I only want your money." And this is what Mr. Cruel would tell Carmaine and her two sisters. And, of course, that's a lie. He forces the two youngest to go into Carmaine's closet and wait there. And he claimed that he wanted Carmaine alone to show him where the family's money was. And then he pushed the bed in front of the closet to prevent the two sisters from getting out before he was gone. So he kind of blocks them in there. However, Mr. Cruel, he was fast this time. He grabbed Carmaine and immediately left, which was good for him because as soon as he left the room, within 2 minutes, the two sisters pushed the bed away from the closet and broke out, and they called their father, who was working at their family-owned restaurant. So that's pretty brave of them. Like, this fucking dude comes out with a
Hashtag wild women.
Hashtag wild women, man. The dude with a fucking gun and knife told him to stay in there, and they fucking break out within 2 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
Mr. Cruel, thank God R. Kelly wasn't hiding in that closet, though.
Oh,
that could have been... Could have been a whole different chapter.
Did he find any rubbers in there?
Oh my God, a rubber.
The policeman who
probably should have washed
you.
It. Smells like R. Kelly's sheets.
So Mr. Cruel, he once again made a red herring on his way out. As he was pulling Carmaine out of the house, like, he grabs her by the hair and pulls her out. He took a moment to spray paint the mother's car. He wrote, quote, "Payback, Asian drug dealer."
And then he also wrote,
"More to come."
No way. Fuck yeah. Yes,
this is
dude.
Just an Asian family that owns a restaurant.
Yeah.
So, of course, police see this and, like, well, we got to investigate. So they look into this family's past, digging up everything they can, and they're like, well, turns out they're not drug dealers.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Don't got green cards. So
get out of here. So, just another lie, another red herring by Mr. Cruel. One interesting thing here, though, Carmaine was also a student at the Presbyterian Ladies College, just like Nicola, one of the other victims.
Yeah.
And this part points more towards the careful planning of Mr. Cruel. Quote, "Carmaine Chan's family home, an 18-room house on a large block in Templestowe's Golden Mile, protected." 18-room house.
Like,
isn't that fucking
mansion?
Pretty much.
It was protected by a 2-meter-high fence with electric front gates. Mr. Cruel would have needed to watch the family closely for some time to know when and how to gain access to the property. Days later, the Chans posted an encrypted letter in the local paper. Using a cipher that Carmaine Chan would have been able to decrypt, they offered a hefty $300,000 ransom in exchange for the safe return of their daughter.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
I think Mr. Cool's onto something. How the fuck does someone own a fucking Asian restaurant but have an 18-room house?
It's Australia.
They're drug dealers.
No, they're not, dude.
He was fucking right, dude. Like, what? How many restaurants did they own to even have that kind of house?
I don't know. They might own a lot.
That's got to be a lot, dude.
What evidence do you have, Toof?
Carmaine's abduction triggered one of the largest manhunts in Australian history. It would be known as Operation Spectrum, not to be confused with the United States Operation Spectrum, where you sign up for Spectrum Internet and then immediately all your information is sold to spam callers.
Straight garbage.
Operation Spectrum.
That's weird, because I think when I was born, they said I was on the spectrum.
Yeah, you and Frankie McDonald. Well, yeah. I'm just joking.
Holy shit. Good, yeah, because Frankie McDonald's at least cool.
Or
Mr. Cool.
Dude,
Dude, what if he was the one who did it?
Dude. That,
I'm
there's...
tying up your daughter. Honestly, you better give me money.
Honestly,
him doing it couldn't make me hate him even more. Like, I already
okay,
hate
guys.
Him
that much. He's like, this is the guy. I'm throwing pizzas in the air. I just took a break from 2 hours making myself a pizza, and I'm running away from the parents with the daughter. Okay, guys, I'm Frankie McDonald.
Like, I hate him so much, dude.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you're on my side.
I wasn't at first, dude, but I fucking hate him, dude. I hate him so much.
I'm gonna take your daughter and I'm gonna put her in a huge trash bag.
Oh god. Okay, I'm gonna look at Frankie McDonald real quick see what his last tweet was.
Yeah, hopefully it's a fucking obituary.
Oh, dude. God damn it, dude. Okay, I'm trying to find the last tweet by him. Aw.
By the way, just to make Kevin happy, like, I was staunchly on fucking Frankie McDonald's side. Yeah. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, I hate him. I hate him.
Okay. Yeah, dude, it took a while to come around, but I did it.
Pretty bad snowstorm in Winnipeg, Manitoba right now. I was absolutely right on my forecast. Pretty bad snowstorm in North Dakota. I got my forecast right as well.
Yeah, I'm on his side
again.
Oh, he's
a terrible weatherman.
God damn it, dude.
Who wrote that for him? There's no way he fucking spelled that shit right.
Let me find... I'm going to real quick...
I was right again.
I'll find one to get.
Wow, Frankie, you fucking watched the weatherman on TV and said it's going to snow also. You're a fucking savant genius.
He is, man. I'm on Team Frankie still.
You know what? I need to, if he explains how he knows the weather, like if it's, he doesn't like look at anyone else's info, like he looks at the sky and's like, yeah, it's going to rain next week. And he's right. Then I'm 100% on his side. In fact, I'll Deshaun Watson him.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Happy birthday, Robert Downey Jr. And have a great birthday from Frankie McDonald.
Oh, I saw that one.
God damn it. Dude, that, I hate him so. I fucking hate him, dude. I hate
happy
him.
Happy birthday, Robert Downey Jr. And have a great birthday from Frankie Donald.
Oh, God.
Dude.
If I can, like, change history shit. Where, like, the planes from 9/11, like, just hit him, like, I would fucking do it, dude.
Oh my God,
I hate
dude.
There's gonna be a huge explosion.
I like to hear my dad's son riding on an asteroid. It's coming up.
Yeah, okay, the asteroid thing, the asteroid thing. Yeah,
you
asteroid
know what?
Thing.
I'm looking up if he's on cameo.
Okay.
This is for Kevin Green.
Oh my god, dude, I would pay money for him to say something to Kev though.
So
I challenge you to a fight.
This is Frankie McDonald. I just beat Kevin Green 1-on-1 in basketball 10-4.
Oh my god, dude. I would pay at least $1,000 for that.
Dude, if we played 1-on-1 basketball and he beat me and he wore like a Yao Ming jersey, I would fucking kill myself,
yeah.
Dude.
Dude, I might just kill myself, too.
I rejected your shot so hard on Frankie McDonald.
Yeah.
God damn it, dude.
Because you beat me in basketball, so if he beats you, then I have to kill myself as well.
Okay, let's get through this. Operation Spectrum, quote, was a multi-million dollar undertaking that devoured tens of thousands of police man hours alongside the many thousands more of volunteer hours. Unfortunately, this attack does differ from the others. Carmaine, she wasn't returned to the family like the victims previously. April 9th, 1992, nearly a year after Carmaine had been abducted, a man is walking his dog in the close-by area of Thomastown, and that is where he happened upon a fully decomposed skeleton.
Yeah.
This skeleton would then be revealed to be that of Carmaine Chan. Quote, an autopsy revealed that Carmaine had been shot 3 times in the head, execution style, probably not long after her abduction.
Wow.
Damn.
Theories have swirled as to why Mr. Krull murdered Carmaine when he released all the other victims. Carmaine's mother theorizes that because her daughter was stubborn and would have fought against the attacker, she likely learned too much about him for him to let her go. So that's incredibly sad and super fucked up. Rest in peace, Carmaine. Operation Spectrum would continue on for the next few years, hoping to learn the identity of Mr. Krull and catch him before any other crimes. The task force was made up of 40 members and investigated over 27,000 potential suspects. They collected over tens of thousands of tips from the public, and they even searched over 30,000 houses in hopes of finding some clues or evidence. Unfortunately, much like that dude said in Spaceballs, man, we ain't found shit.
We ain't found shit.
We ain't found shit.
Fuck yeah.
After,
No dude, way. Yeah. I didn't know you had that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So after Operation Spectrum, they did a new operation. It's Operation Ketchum. And it was only one person was involved in it, and it was Bruce Jenner. And he knew there was only one way to catch him. So in 2007, Bruce Jenner did what only one person could have to do. Oh, he likes women, huh?
Oh, so that's how he wants it, huh? That's the only reason why, dude.
Everyone always said I had a youngish figure, so now I need to change it up.
Oh, God. Spectrum was eventually shelved for good in 1994. Quote, and with it went any potential leads on the Mr. Krull case. As of this writing, Mr. Krull remains one of Australia's most wanted criminals. So keep in mind, Mr. Krull may have been responsible for way more than just these attacks. Some sources say possibly even 12 attacks could have been by Mr. Krull. And I know this isn't funny, but here's an opening bit from the Herald Sun Australian newspaper article that it's not funny, especially after all this, but I just kind of like how it's worded. Quote, detectives believe he would have committed minor offenses for years before graduating to abduction, rape, and finally murder. Those offenses almost certainly included stealing underwear from washing lines to masturbate over and sitting outside houses peering through windows.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But I just like because it says those offenses almost certainly included stealing underwear from washing lines to masturbate over. So, like, why is
dude, so almost good. Certain?
Why would you? There's no chance he didn't do that.
So
he stole panties from a washing line and jerked off on
them. We can say that maybe Mr. Krabs didn't miss the panty raid.
This has nothing to do with that, but I can't stop thinking of the Tim Robinson sketch where he's in the courtroom and they're talking about like embezzling money and they keep talking about his hat and he's like, what the fuck? They make fun of him for having dice in his pocket and like he tries to like leave him by the guy and the guy keeps scooting him over with his foot and he's like, leave him the fuck there or something like that. God, it's so fucking funny, dude.
Have you seen Dave's hat? It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, dude. Oh my God, he's still fucking wearing it. And like they keep saying that in between, like we have to sell now.
Yeah,
he's still wearing that fucking hat. And I can see he still has dice in his pocket. All right, that's everything we have on the Mr. Krull case. I do apologize for this episode. We were all over the fucking place.
Hey, Kev.
Yeah, dude.
So I saw from, I think it was a Reddit post, someone had the six Jokers cards painted on six dice, six-sided die.
Yes, so like six, I saw those also.
Did you go look up how much they were?
No.
Guess how much would you pay for those dice?
Nothing.
They were $70.
What?
Actually, yeah. I'm pulling them out of my pocket, guys. I got them right here.
That's fucking good, Tim.
You roll them and they all land on the Joker's cards and Andrew shows up. That's how you summon him.
It'd be better if they were D&D dice.
Oh, yeah.
All right, should I do some closing?
Yeah, let's shut her down. Was there anything you guys wanted to say about the case?
Oh, my fucking God.
You know, it's really fucked up, but compared to some of the cases we've covered,
yeah.
I think he killed the last girl.
That sucks. What we know, I'm not sure if he did. Like, I think maybe the last girl might have been a copycat, and I think it might be a different guy.
And the last one?
I always wonder about, like, copycat murderers, about, like, how much, like, something, a crime becomes popular, And there's also some other fucked up dude who's like uncreative, like, I don't know if the word's creative, but like he just copies it.
The last guy killed the girl. I think like he might have just been a copycat, but he actually killed her. I'm not sure if it was the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, honestly. Maybe.
Like in the 70s, there was like so many popular serial killers going on all at the same time. Yeah. So like the Night Stalker was fucking going on. Like there was a lot of shit going on like in one area.
Yeah, Andrew said so he's going to be a copycat in September.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Hell yeah.
All righty. Shut her down, Spence.
Oh, well, thank
Andrew's like, wake me up when September begins.
When September 10th is over.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's fair holidays next day.
Oh. And on that note, thank you all for listening to the Brothers Commonplace. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Write to us on email, brotherscommonplace@gmail.com. And definitely subscribe to the podcast and send us that feedback. Or else,
I'd kill my son.
I did not. He's like, I forgot about that. I'd kill my son.
That's just so good.
Fuck, what does he say? What was the choices? I forget. Dude,
they didn't make any
fucking
sense.
Fucking Stephen Baldwin, right?
They made no sense.
Yeah, he's like, if a fucking terrorist comes at you at gunpoint.
I'm the terrorist.
Like, but it makes no sense. He's the guy's like, I fight back. He's like, you can't fight back. I'd never give up. You can't. Yeah. He's like, trick question. I'm the terrorist. Yeah. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Okay, fine. You're Stephen Baldwin. I'll beat the shit out of you.
I kill my son.
Like, why would you?
The worst part of it is that after all that cool shit happens, he goes, I'd kill my son. He's like, just as God did with his only son, Jesus. Come on, dude. You had to make it dumb. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I still got to buy that.
All right.
He
was
in Biodome. Like,
A Night with a Thief.
So now,
on the cross.
So now, out of the two Baldwins, which one's the better Baldwin?
fuck, dude.
Anybody that's not in Biodome.
Well, one killed somebody, and the other one only killed the good mood. So.
And they somehow both killed their careers.
Legit. Dude, did you see Amy Schumer's dumb joke that isn't... It's like, it's not funny because it makes no sense. She said, like, she had this amazing joke, okay? She's like, she said she had this amazing fucking joke about Alec Baldwin. She's like, yeah, but they told me that I couldn't say it. And it was like, oh, what's the stupid... Let me try to find it. It's fucking dumb.
I can't wait to laugh at this.
Yeah, this is what she says. Don't Look Up is the name of a movie. More like, now before I tell the joke, Alec Baldwin's not in this movie.
Yeah, no, it's Leo DiCaprio and what?
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill and what girl's in it? It's,
I don't know.
Anyway, keep going, Kev.
But this is her joke. Don't Look Up is the name of a movie. More like Don't Look Down the Barrel of Alec Baldwin's Shotgun. Yeah. How's that a joke? He's not in that movie. Like, it doesn't, there's no, it doesn't
wasn't
make,
even a
hey,
shot.
Amy Schumer, don't look up and find me laughing because it's not going to happen.
She said, I wasn't allowed to say any of that at the Oscars, but you can just come up and slap someone. And I guess she just keeps going on about how traumatized she is after seeing that slap. Like, just making it all about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now it's okay to attack comedians, and she knows she's fucked.
Yeah, dude, that slap was so hard it fucking made her fat belly ripple.
Did you say
like the water in Jurassic Park?
Did you say he was allowed to attack comedians? She's fine then.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so her and Carrot Top have nothing to
she's
worry
safe.
About.
Yeah.
You didn't say he was allowed to attack animals at SeaWorld, right?
dude, Amy Schumer's cool, dude.
Yeah,
great. She's funny.
Now, what a little
I still
gay
feel
boy.
Mad that I cream pied her, but whatever.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know why I didn't mean to hit that button. I know it was.
I want a little gay boy.
Mr. Krull broke in the house and saw the four daughters and then quietly left and on the way out and said, oops.
I want a little gay boy.
Fucking left.
Well, no, he broke into Amy Schumer's house when she was 9 and he said that.
Then he'd be fine.
So, thank you everyone for listening and subscribing, all that fun stuff. You can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called, all that good shit. And, yeah, that's it for me. Toof's rubbing his belly like,
I got poop,
what's
dude.
That fucking one wrestler, dude? Freight Train?
Oh, yeah. You gonna get in my belly.
Yeah, dude.
Eugene.
We're not so different, you and I.
I feel like we'd be a better fit for Gab.
What's oh Gab? God.
Gab, that Reddit alternative.
Yeah, I'll say it's like kind of like pretty much a really close to a Reddit voting system kind of system. Oh.
Kevin and I only know one Gab. Hey, Kev.
Yeah, oh, for hey, Gabs.
For Gabs. Hey, for Gabs.
Yeah, dude. For Gabby. Primo, you got anything you want to say, brother?
I got nothing.
All righty. He's been holding that in since
been years.
Since the hiatus began. Toof, you got any words of wisdom, dude?
Should I play the jingle?
Play it.
If he's got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
My friend, it sounds like you could use some words of wisdom.
So, we all know our boy Andrew. Happy birthday, Andrew.
That's right.
He
totally listens.
Does he?
Oh yeah!
How do I even do?
Oh fuck yeah!
Yeah, he just messaged me that he's already listened to the episode we posted yesterday.
Oh fuck yeah!
Hell yeah!
Second time,
dude. That was a funny episode,
yeah,
dude. It was so good.
So our boy Andrew, we know he loves his Faygo and he loves his candy.
Oh yeah, he does.
You know, he's just a sugar fiend boy. Well, anyway, we found out that Andrew became a vigilante after watching Batman Begins.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yep. So Andrew, he goes and he saves people's lives, and you know, when he does that, there's a crime scene.
And
they're starting to figure out who it is, you know, because Andrew, he's kind of sloppy, like they think he's the killers instead of the vigilante. Because, like, Andrew just fucks up all the evidence, and he just leaves all his evidence everywhere there. God, this story is so fucking stupid. I'm just getting to the end of it, whatever. He fucking saves Kevin's life, man, but dies in the process. And, like, as he's, like, dying, like, Kevin, like, looks at all the evidence around the room, and he looks at Andrew's hand, and he sees, like, all the Faygo, was it like sugar stains, and Andrew likes pixie sticks, so like all that dust is all over his hand, and like Kevin like figures out that Andrew's been the vigilante this whole time.
What?
Because Kevin's a detective. I don't fucking know, man. And as Andrew's dying after he saves Kevin's life, because Kevin found out because he saw his handprints on the wall, he kisses Andrew on the forehead and says, "Good night, sweet prince."
Dude, it was so hard to follow you because the entire time you told that
story,
you're just fingering your fucking toes, too. That's all I could focus on was you fingering your toes.
Because I'm trying to focus on this story that I just made up 10 minutes ago.
Dude, know what I was just thinking for some reason? You know what would have made the Green Mile, like, sadder, because it's a sad movie. It's a great movie and it's a sad movie, but it's hard to care for a guy whose last name's Coffee. You know, like, fucking give him a different name, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're gonna murder a guy named Coffee. That's funny as fuck. Change his name, dude.
can I redo my words of wisdom?
Please do.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, hold
on. I'm gonna leave that in though. Wait.
Oh yeah, cat words of wisdom.
Fuck yeah, I love it.
Andrew is a fucking fat fucking slob who just eats a bunch of pixie sticks and puts it all over his hands and smashes his fucking fat nubby hands on the wall and leaves fingerprints. And Kevin found him one day and stabbed him because he, I don't know, left fingerprints in Kevin's room. It's even stupider than the first one. No. I can't even finish it. Whatever. Kevin kisses him in the head and says, "You can't put your hands on my wall and leave candy stains. Good night, sweet prince."
Dude, that was fucking great, dude.
I love that.
God damn.
That was wonderful, too. Hey, has anyone checked in on the Cavs?
No.
Cavs are playing for that final playoff spot. Let's see what the score is. 23-14. We're up, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Cavs, baby.
Hopefully Trae Young doesn't do his Trae Young stuff.
Jared Allen has 0 rebounds and 0 points in 5 minutes.
He has an assist.
How
does
he not have a rebound, dude? Yeah, he doesn't. Dude, fucking our fucking white small forward has 11 points.
Mark Hagen, baby. Wait.
Who?
I forgot who's back. Oh. Yeah, I can never pronounce his name.
Marklin?
Yeah.
I thought it was Mark Aiken.
Lori.
But alrighty, thank you everyone for listening. Be good.
Stay safe.
Laugh at the dark stuff.
Hashtag Wild Australia.
Oh, yeah. And real quick, shout out to the Bash Brothers, our boys in Las Bandoleros. They played our outro for us, so listen to them. Follow them on social media, give them a follow. Tell them that we sent you. Same for Whiskey Myers. Shout out to our fucking wild boy, fucking Tony. And follow them, give them a listen, and tell them we sent you.
That's right.
What's that, Toof?
I'm looking up the Los Bandoleros on tour.
Toof, what was that day in you talking about in Cleveland?
May 22nd.
May 22nd.
I'll definitely take off for that shit, dude.
All right, hashtag thank you, Mark.
Hashtag boy pussy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, dude. Our boy pussies. All righty. I'm shutting it down, boys. Love you guys.
Love you too, Kev Dog.
Good night.